We are 14 lines down from the top on Ayin Hey Amud Beis. We are now beginning one of the most important Mishnayos of Avodah Zarah, which is at the way end, which is about Hechsher Kelim and being Tovel Kelim. The Mishnah begins, Halokeach Kli Tashmish Menovik Kachavim. If a person purchases a vessel from a non-Jew, Escha Darcho Lahatbil Yatbil Lahagil Yagil, if it's used to be tovel, to be immersed, then you have to immerse it. If it was used lahagil, if it was used for heating, then yagil, then you have to be magil it as well. You have to do hagala. Lelabin ba'or, yelabin ba'or. If it was used to be malabin, if it was used for heat, a dry heat, then you have to do the same type of libun, same type of purging with heat. Hashvud ve'askala, what's an example of malabin? Hashvud ve'askala malabnan bo'or, a spit or grill, those have to do libun. It's a dry heat, that's how it was used. So in order to kosher it, to remove the non-kosher from it, you have to do the same. Hasakin safa vitora, but a knife, you just have to scrape it off, clean it off, and it's going to be tahor. So the yesod, the main point of this Mishnah, is the idea of kibolo kach polto, which you mentioned a little bit earlier. The way that an item was absorbed is the way that you remove it. So you don't have to do anything better than the way that it was initially used. So if it was used for hagala, you only have to kasher it through hagala. You don't need to do more. If it was used only for tevila, for cold, then you only have to do cold. You don't need to do libun or more. We happen to paskin lechumra. We do everything in a kli rishon ala eish, even if it was used in a kli sheni. We try to be machmir with hagala. We try to be machmir with libun. But there are sometimes different circumstances required, different psukim, but that's the general rule. There's also another discussion about rov tashmisho and miut tashmisho. If I use something most of the time as a kli sheni, but one time I used it as a kli rishon, do I have to kosher it with a hagala, or can I use a different type of koshering? So those are different discussions, more in psukim. Here, the main yesodos are what are being discussed. Tana begins the Gemara. The kulan srichan tvila barbay misa, even though our Mishnah was talking about hechsher kelim, all these items, after they're kashered, they need tefillah in a mikveh. Tefillah's kelim is required. Minahani mili, how do we know this? Amar Rava, the Amar Kra kol davar sheyavo ba'esh tabir ba'esh v'taher. The whole idea, the whole source, which I didn't mention before, the source for kashering, for hechsher kelim, comes from Klei Midyan. The kelim that were, the spoils that were taken from their battle or victory against Midyan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to tell Bnei Israel, they have to do Hechsher Kalim. But in addition to the Hechsher Kalim, the Mishnah, the Pasuk said, Tavir Ba'esh Vitaher, host of the Chakas of Taracher. What's telling you, take it and purge it in fire and then and Taher and it's purified? It's telling you that there's additional requirement after the Kashering. What's that? Taracher means also Tvilas Kalim. You have to be told it in a mikvah of 40 sa. Tani Bar Kapra. Bar Kapra has a different way to understand the source for Tvilas Kalim from the same discussion in Klei Midyan. B'mei Nida, it says, Ach b'mei Nida yischata, shamei ani shetar chazah shlishi shvi. I would have thought that it means, Mei Nida means you have to do this chazah, the sprinkling on the third and the seventh day. Tamalomar Ach Chalak, the Ach b'mei Nida tells us something different. Well then, im kein matamalomar b'mei Nida, what exactly does Mei Nida mean then? Maim shenida tabelas b'hen havia marbim. So what it means is that the Mei Nida refers to the fact that you have to, after you do the kashering, you have to do the tefillah in a mikvah of 40 sa. And now the Gemara continues and says, Isrich lemichta v'taher, v'isrich lemichta b'mei Nida. Right, once you think now we have Mei Nida and we have v'taher, why do we need both? It says the Gemara, we actually need both. Why? Ikas if it's a hair, if it only had the pasuk v'taher, hava mina v'taher kol dehu, I would have thought that taher just means all you need is just enough to be metayer. So as long as if it's a small little fork, I just need enough water that can cover the fork. Kasav rachmana b'meinida, that tells you no, it needs to be arba yimsa. The ikasav rachmana b'meinida, hava mina harav shemesh kenida, I would have thought, oh, well, you have to wait until it gets night. You can tovel it in the daytime, but you cannot use it until nighttime. Because of Rachman of Itaher, the altar, that when it comes to Tefillas Kalim, it works right away. So that is the source for Tefillas Kalim. And as we go through the discussion about Hechsher Kalim, you end up learning a lot of Yesodos for Tefillas Kalim as well. Tosos does make one important point here, which is that when with regards to Tumah and Tara, if your fork becomes tame, in order to mitahir it, you don't need arba imsah, you just need enough to cover the fork. But when it comes to tefillas klei minyan, when it comes to tefillas kelim, all of a sudden we need memsah, and that's a chiddush. He says chiddushu, it's a special din that we need arba imsah because it's learned from hechsher kelim. So tumat tahara, even though we're dealing with perhaps a more severe issue of a deoraisa, we're more machmir, that we're less machmir, we're more machmir by tefillas kelim, but they are both dinim doraisa. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, afilo kelim chadashim b'mashma. The implication then is that when it comes to tefillas kelim, you have to be tovel kelim even if they're brand new, just because the klei minyan were old kelim, so we have to machshir it and then tovel it. It's but what happens when you're tovel, when you machshir the old kelim, they become like new. So clearly it implies tayishenim v'libnan kichadashim damu v'afilo chibay tevila. If it was old and it was kosher, now it's like new. You have to tovel it. So therefore, even if I buy a kli from the store, brand new, I have to be matbil that kli. I believe it's the Rush who tells us the reason why we're tovel the kli is we bring it to a higher level of spirituality. It goes from a kedusha kala to chamura to a higher level. That's part of the mitzvah of tefilas kelim. Maskevla Rav Sheshes. Hold on a second, says Rav Sheshes. If we have to be tovel something, even if it's brand new, even scissors that are used for clothing that were purchased from a non-Jew, they should be tovel too. Why are they not tovel? Amrlei, very important. Yesod klei suda morim parsha. Only kelim for a suuda are required to be toveled, which brings up a very big question. What is considered? How do you define a klei suda? Is it something which you use during the meal? But maybe, or does it even include things which are used in the preparation of the meal? How far do you take it? What are klei su'uda? And there's a discussion about the practical machlokes in some of the kashrus agencies about which items are considered klei su'uda or not in terms of tefilas kelim. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravu, Elo Shana, Elo Belekuchin, Uchamaisa Shahaya. Uchamaisa Shahaya, says Rav Nachman, that the only time you have to tovel something or kashrus it is when you purchase it from an Ovid Kochavim, like Klei Minyan. However, but if you borrow Avol Shu'ulim, if you borrow something from an Ovid Kochavim, borrow something from a non-Jew, you wouldn't be required to. So if you have, for example, you have an Airbnb and there are some utensils there and you're going to only use it cold, so there potentially could be a permitted usage, I don't have to tovel it or kashrut beforehand. I can use it as is. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef Zavan Mana de Merda Me Ovid Kochavim. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef purchased a Mana de Merda, Rashi says, that it was made, this item was made up of adama, earthenware, and tzvi'i bakar, some sort of refuse from cattle, some dung. And that was how they made this kli. He thought that, what, savar lahat bila, he thought they had to tovel it. Amrle, so here's a very important yisod as well. Amrle, who made rabbanim to Rabbi Yaakov Shmei, lididim mitvashi leminei to Rabbi Yochanan, klei matchos amur beparsha. Think about the parsha of Minyan. What were we talking about? It says zahav, kesef. It was only talking about metals. The only things that require tefila are items that are metal. Something which is plastic, for example, which is used all the time now, is not a metal. Therefore, a plastic item does not need tefila. And of course, the question you're probably thinking is, what about glass? Well, that Gemara asks that question. Amar Rav Ashi, honey klei zechuchis. What about glass? Does glass need to be toveled or not? Says Rav Ashi, hoel v'chinish tabru yesh len takana. Since if they break, there you're able to fuse them together. It has similar models to metal, similar composition to metal. Therefore, says Rav Ashi, ki kli matchos damu, it's like kli matchos, and you would require a tefila. This is a very important idea, because glass was not mentioned in the pasuk. So, midoraisa, there's no requirement to tovel glass. Midrabanan, clearly, you are required to tovel glass. But what's the reason given? Since it has the same attributes as metal, then tefila is required, which then asks that, which begs the following question. That seems to indicate, you can make the argument that any item, any new type of material which has similar, which can break down similar to a metal, should require tefila. Midin derabanan. So even I just mentioned to you a minute ago that plastic wouldn't require tefila. You can make the argument, well, hold on a second. Maybe plastic does have similar makeup material to metal, and therefore we should require tefila on plastic just like we do on glass, but the general custom is certainly not to say that for plastic. We do not tovel plastic, even if it's heavy usage and use it all the time. It is not required. Earthenware, as we know, is not required. We decided from previous Gemara because it's not matachos, it's not a metal. Aluminum is a sort of form of metal, clearly would require tefillah. The Gemara asks another question, which is a practical kunya. What about kunya? Kunya is, Rashi says, it is an earthenware vessel, but it is covered with some sort of metal. So it's a metal coating. Does it require tefillah or not? Pligiber of Achav Ravina. Some say that we view it like a tchilah. So it's originally made of earthenware. So the fact that it's coated with metal, it's irrelevant, and therefore it doesn't need a tefillah. Some say no, it's coated. That's what matters. Hilchos like a sofa, and the halacha is that we view it as like a sofa, and therefore if it's coated, if it's an earthenware vessel which is coated with metal, that should be required to be tovel. Tosos does mention this idea that we're talking about the vessel must be coated on the inside as opposed to if it's covered on the outside. I'm not exactly sure how he's trying to understand this idea, because he mentions at the end of Tosfos that since you don't kivan de'ein mishtamshin ben derech hamateches, since you're not using it through the metal, and then it's not considered clay suda. But if the coating is on the outside, presumably you're putting the food right on top of the coating, and you are using it. So I'm not exactly sure what Tosfos is trying to say, but it seems clearly from the Gemara that if it has a metal coating, you would require a tefillah. So another question that comes up often is you have these earthenware or ceramic type of plates, which has some sort of thin coating on it, which is metallic coating, which you think would require tefillah. Based on this Gemara, it seems that you would require tefillah. And many say that, yeah, you have to be tovelit. But others say, well, the metallic coating that we have in our modern-day vessel utensils are very thin, and it's essentially buttled to the rest of the kli, as opposed to here, kunya was talking about a very significant metallic coating. And therefore, some will tell you that you don't need to tovel it at all, and others will say you do need to tovel it, but don't make a bracha just in case you don't need to tovel it. So that's part of the discussion with regards to plates with a metallic coating. Yiboylehu, almost done, get to the two dots. Yiboylehu, meshkanta mai. If you get something as a collateral from an Ovid Kochavim, what's the halacha? Do you need a tovel it or not? Amar Mar Bar Avashi, Abba Mashkin Le Ovid Kochavim Kasa De Kaspa. My father received as a collateral from a non-Jew a silver goblet, Vatpale, and he was tovel it. Vishdibe, and only then did he drink from it. However, so that sounds like Mashkanta is required. But he says, Valoya Dana Imishum De Kasara Mashkanta Kisvini Danya, but I didn't know if he did it because he felt that a collateral is viewed as a purchase. And therefore, halachically, at that point, he's like the owner. Or he knew that the Ovid Kochavim was going to leave it with him, and he was never going to come up with the money, so he was going to have to keep the collateral, and that's why he did it. The Gemara doesn't come up with a particular conclusion or an answer to that question. But these are some very important yesodos with regards to Hechsher Kelim and Tfilas Kelim, and there's still a little bit more to continue at the end of this daf going into the next Amud.